Why did he have to be crucified? And why did it have to be so brutal? I mean, the whole thing we've just recalled by way of St. John, why did it have to happen that way? We know that he did it to forgive his friends, to forgive his country, to forgive his religion. And we also know that he really did it for every person who's ever turned away from his original gift of grace and perfection. But why did he have to do it in such a brutal way? If he wanted to forgive us, couldn't he have just done so? And we all could have skipped over this unseemly business? This has been one of the running questions down the centuries. In theology, it has to do with atonement. That God somehow saw it necessary to do more than just say, I forgive you. That he somehow realized that to bring the world back into line, to reform what had been deformed, to recreate what had been destroying itself, something had to be done. Something real had to happen to correct the damage being done to his masterpiece. Pope Benedict, our great teacher pope of the last half century, explains, some people have said that it must be a cruel God that demands atonement. But the reality of evil and injustice clearly disfigures the world and distorts the image of God, you and me. And so it cannot be ignored. Today, God is doing something about all that has gone wrong in creation. The crucifixion is God making right what has gone wrong. And the extreme reality of the crucifixion, the scourging, the mocking, the brutality, the nails and the spear, is all because of the extreme effect of sin on the world. This is the atonement of Good Friday. God is not paying our bill for us. He's meeting us where we unfortunately are and taking our brutalities upon his own body, so that we, his mystical body, might be made pure once again as we were in the beginning. God is so wise. Just saying, I forgive you from a distance, simply offering a kindly nod of his head to somehow make us feel good, doesn't seem to be appropriate for some of the sin that humanity has conjured up over the centuries. There should be nothing sentimental about the crucifixion. There's nothing sentimental about Good Friday. God is doing something here strong enough to overcome even the most powerful evil that humanity has inflicted upon itself. Bishop Barron calls this the awful work of divine love. It simply had to be done. I mean, think about it. How could a charming, oh yeah, I forgive you, ever begin to properly restore the human family to goodness and peace after 9 million murders in World War II's Holocaust? How could, oh yeah, 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 don't worry about it, even start to reconcile the Armenian genocide that took 2 million lives in the early 1900s, or the Cambodian genocide that killed 2.5 million in the 70s, or the million dead in the Rwandan genocide of the 90s? There's no way that God would ever say, oh yeah, 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 Don't worry about the Oklahoma City bombing. I accept your apology for slavery. Oh, forget about the 50 million babies who have been aborted since the 1970s. God would never say something flippant or offer some sort of casual word of forgiveness to any of these outrageous events in our world. To do so would actually be disrespectful to the victims of these extreme sins. Yes, the crucifixion is outrageous. It's extreme. We can't believe that it actually happened, and we wish it wouldn't have happened. But we also can't believe that the Caesars did what they did. We can't believe that the Crusaders actually sacked Christian villages after their noble work of protecting the holy sites in which Jesus himself lived. We can't believe that Catholic Spain did what they did to our Jewish brothers and sisters in the Inquisition. The world has always needed Good Friday's extreme love for all of the extreme hate that has veiled the world's true beauty over the centuries. And now, as you and I prepare to come quite literally face to face with the extreme of the crucifixion, we do so faithfully admitting our part in the calamity. But we also do so looking forward to Sunday evening, when he will come through the locked doors of our fears and anxieties, and he will complete the forgiveness of today by saying, "Peace be with you." On Sunday night, when we hear him say, "Peace be with you," we will know that his "I love you" is real. And we will then know that it is worthy of our reply, "I do love you too, Lord. I love you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.